This time on episode 194 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Iron Fist, Underleaf Pluck Lotus. We talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your listener feedback.
I'm Jason.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Usually Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast.
A proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Thursday, August 17th, 2017, one day before the Defenders come out. Live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide on www.geeks.live. Happy National Thrift Shop Day, ladies!
I'd sing that Macklemore song, but I don't know it, so what you gonna do?
I don't know any Macklemore songs. In fact, I'm not really even sure who Macklemore is. To me, it sounds like a fishing technique or something. Maybe I'm just too old.
That's Mackerelmore.
Ah. All right, so we'll save our shopping for later and get back to the podcast. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of flipping off Invisible Dad.
If you'd like to talk to us about flipping off your invisible dad, visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail message about how you like flipping off your dad, you can call us at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to talk to me and Haley and Michelle, but not necessarily SP, about how we may have gotten you in trouble for flipping off your dad, you can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You could actually share your experiences of flipping off your dad with SP on Twitter, and you could also tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you'd like to leave a comment about flipping off your invisible dad, you can do it at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
You might have noticed that Agent Haley is not with us today. That is true. She has decided to ditch us. She's becoming a hobo, just joining the trains of the United States and seeing the country or something like that. So what we did is we brought in Consultant Michelle. So thank you very much for joining us this week, Michelle.
Always a pleasure.
Even when we make you watch Iron Fist?
Even when you make me watch Iron Fist.
Oh, that's a tough one to stop it. But tell you what, why don't we have you back next time so you could talk the Legion finale with us?
That would be amazing. It would make up for this.
All right.
But I love you guys. You know, I'd come by even if you wanted me to talk more Iron Fist in the future.
There might very well be cause to do that. In the meantime, let's get on and talk some Iron Fist. This is the fifth episode of Iron Fist on Netflix that we're talking about, Underleaf Pluck Lotus. And Lauren, there was a great director for this episode.
There was Uta Brisewitz. I'm hopefully pronouncing that name correctly, who has 20 directing credits spanning back to 2010. That includes Hung, the TV series with Thomas Jane, Weeds, Unreal, Awkward, Jessica Jones, aka I've Got the Blues, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, 5 episodes of Jane the Virgin, 2 of the 100, 1 of Fear the Walking Dead, 1 of This Is Us, this episode of Iron Fist, one of Black Sails, four of Orange is the New Black, and one of the Defenders, which we should be seeing tomorrow.
Just in a matter of hours. Also, by the way, Uta is a noted cinematographer for series such as The Wire, Hung, and True Blood.
Yep, Undressed, S Club 7, Session 9, which, by the way, is one of my favorite horror movies. She's done a really good job.
And Michelle, we also have a pretty accomplished writer for this episode.
Yes, this episode was written by Christine Chambers. It has two main writing credits since 2014. It includes 17 episodes of Boardwalk Empire. I know English, really, I do. And this episode of Iron Fist, also a producer for Boardwalk Empire and Iron Fist.
I could see myself doing that left, right, and backwards, Michelle. So thank you for taking the hit for me so I didn't have to say Broadwalk instead of Boardwalk. And yes, Christine is a accomplished writer. I say accomplished because Boardwalk Empire was a great show and coming in and producing Iron Fist as well. And I think this powerhouse couple, writer director, was bought in specifically because the series in this episode introduces the night nurse, Claire.
Yes, this is where everything kind of started taking a turn for, if not the good, at least the slightly better, because Claire makes everything better.
She does. Now, I have a little issue because she comes out of absolutely nowhere.
Not necessarily. Do you remember the end of Luke Cage when she takes that self-defense flyer?
Oh. But in this series, she comes out of nowhere.
Well, no. Colleen is a teacher. She is established as a teacher. She says she has students and clients and all that type of stuff. So yeah, it's not out of the blue that she would be training somebody and that somebody just happens to be Claire. So if you flashed everything, because again, hashtag is all connected, then it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And let's face it, Claire even says, my mother says that I'm destined to help you people out.
Okay, so it's plausible. I'm not saying it's not plausible. What I'm just saying is that it slaps you in the face, like out of the blue. There's no forewarning whatsoever in this series. It just, bam, she's there. I don't mind it. It's just there, and it's a little shocking, I guess. It's not.
It was the breath of fresh air that I needed, personally.
Well, okay. I think it's breath of fresh air many people needed for this series.
Yes.
And she was awesome. She was learning how to fight. She used her superior medical skills. She basically tells the people that they need to get with it because they're talking about the hand. And she introduces them to the background of the hand that they might not already have that are operating in the city and have been operating in the city. So Claire's a very important pivotal point to this series at this point.
Yeah, again, she's the one with the common sense. And okay, let's slide into the next topic from Claire. Claire's hanging around and, in my opinion, enjoying the awkward when Danny runs in and completely inappropriately is like, hey, I'm here. And Colleen's like, I'm teaching a class. And Danny's like, I ordered takeout. And then a bunch of waiters with fancy food come in, set a table. There's flowers and candles. That is not takeout, y'all. Takeout is like, hey, I brought like a couple of burgers or a couple cartons of Chinese food. And then Danny proceeds to just be supremely awkward and creepy. And Claire seems to be really enjoying the awkward, in my opinion.
I think it's nice that she has her girls back because she knows Colleen's like taken aback and she knows how to read. And it's like, you know, this guy could be creepy. I got to be here for my girl. So I'm going to invite myself to dinner. So that way it takes off some of the pressure and I can be a little awkward and I can handle this for her.
Yeah, the whole Colleen's like, please stay. This isn't a date. Please stay to Claire. And Claire's just like, I'm going to sit myself down. I'm going to eat. I'm going to start poking at Danny because Danny does that whole praying to Buddha thing over the food, which, again, I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know enough about Buddhism. But I was watching this with a friend this morning. At that point, she told me, pause this. And I paused and she turns to me and she said, This guy seems like that high schooler who read one book on Buddhism and is now spouting out stuff about how cool and enlightened he is compared to everyone else.
It's a little bit awkward, yes. And here's another thing here. Claire, I don't know if she has Netflix. I don't know if she has TV. I don't know what her entertainment is. I mean, she's a pretty busy gal. She's dealing with all these superhero issues in the Marvel New York universe right now. So I think she's taking this moment as entertainment.
She does seem to be supremely entertained by this weirdo guy running in and bothering her friend.
Indeed. And she leaves and things are still a little bit awkward, but I think she feels that things are at least under control and that she can leave.
I love when Danny's like, oh, yeah, take anything you want. And Claire just starts grabbing food boxes.
At that moment, I'm like, I am Claire.
I don't know if you're familiar with the, you know, start stuffing breadsticks in my purse meme that was really popular last year. But that was the first thing I thought of. It's like the date starts going badly. And you just start grabbing breadsticks, stuffing them in your purse so you can have them when you leave. So it's not a total loss.
Or you put some Ziploc bags in your very big purse and you go to like a buffet and you get like fried chicken. And all of a sudden, a couple of the pieces, they just fall into your Ziploc bag. And, you know, along with that with some couple of biscuits and, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a minor question. I don't remember what happened here, but doesn't Claire's mom own a restaurant?
Yeah. That doesn't mean she can't, if it's good quality food, I mean, why waste it?
Maybe share it with her mom, too. Who knows?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, we forgot to mention, the title of this episode actually does have a meaning. According to Shaolin.org, under leaf pluck lotus is actually a qina move, which is like, well, qin means like seize and na means control. So it's basically like, you know, joint locks and grabbing vital points and using them to control somebody who's attacking you. And I haven't seen a video of the underleaf pluck lotus technique, but Michelle said that she did. Michelle, can you describe it?
Okay. In the one video that I did find, and it labeled itself this move. So am I an expert? No, I am just going to trust it. And it looked like it was like block, arm, grab the junk.
Which is fitting given the name.
Yeah. And I guess it does connect to this because Danny is trying to stop the hand's heroin shipment. So I guess he is trying to like grab the junk of the hand by stopping their heroin enterprise.
Junk is also a street name for heroin or used to be in the 90s. I was just going to say he was nut grabbing the hand, but I mean, that's a lot more eloquent and thought out.
Okay, as I cross my legs for the rest of the episode, we're just going to move on into some boring company stuff. Yes, yeah, some corporate boardroom stuff. That is what this episode has in it. And yeah, it was kind of a snoozer. I had to fight staying awake during some parts of this episode.
Yeah, we get a lady crying because Rand Industries plant gave her son cancer, but she has no legal leg to stand on to sue. So her and her lawyer ambush Danny and put the video on YouTube.
We're not guilty. You know, Danny gets set up because Danny's an idiot and he doesn't realize cell phone records things. And then they're like in trouble because Danny said, I'm sorry, we'll fix it. And then in this day and age, that's admitting fault, which could be used in court. And then they're like, well, now we can make this video known. And so should we settle? Should we not settle? And then there's the whole other boring stuff where Joy's like, we should settle now. And Ward's like, no. And then, yeah.
Everything's stupid and boring.
Yeah.
Can we get back to fighting ninjas? That's like all I want.
Ninjas were actually mentioned in this episode by Claire specifically. But let's talk about Joy for a second, because Joy is amazing in whatever she decides to do. She does it well.
Again, the women on this show are super competent and awesome, and the guys are just like failing everywhere.
Yeah, in She is shaken by the fact that 15 people have cancer because of what they're doing with the company, especially since her dad, she thinks, dies of cancer. I think actually he did die of cancer.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she is really shaken. But despite that, she is able to perform at a high level and say, no, we didn't do anything wrong. So even if you find the cause is the plant, we did everything right and there's nothing you can come after us for. So she does everything right with that. And in the future, she, once her brother goes off the beaten trail and ignores what she has to say, she even backs him up then. She is amazing in what she does. Now, I don't agree necessarily in backing him up. She probably could have done something else, but she was amazing in backing him up, even though she disagreed with him.
Again, it's the whole present a unified front thing. Her brother tells her, you feel bad because you're a good person, but you did a good job because you're a good businesswoman. And that's the thing with Joy. She's, again, amazingly competent, but she is not a terrible person. She's in a really bad position. Yeah, she's in charge of this company doing not great things. And she's trying to do her best with it. But Ward's certainly not helping. Danny's certainly not helping. So she's just kind of trying to handle things as best she can.
And it's interesting at that meeting, she said Ward's never made a wrong move. Every single one of his decisions has been on point. But then you have to realize that those decisions really weren't Ward's. They were Harold's, because Ward's a puppet. And he's been a puppet, and he's starting to actually rebel, because we don't see Harold, but he texts, because on the phone, it's Frankenstein, which I think that's great. And Daddy wants him to listen to Joy, and Ward is flipping him off, popping the pills, and then is like, nope, I'm going to do something else. So it's interesting how that plays out in episodes, how his one true business decision, how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's important to note that Ward is a pillhead. And the reason it's important to note that he's a pillhead is he runs out of pills. So he decides to take...
Yeah, he's on like his second to last pill we see here. And Danny has brought him a sample of heroin that he got from that Axe Gang last episode that has the whole... In comics, it's the symbol of the steel serpent. We talked about that with Daredevil. Here, he says it's the symbol of Sholau the Undying, which is the dragon that he fought to become the Iron Fist. And we know it's controlled by the hand because we saw them producing it way back in Daredevil season one.
And the amazing thing about this version of synthetic heroin is you can't build a tolerance to it. So every time is like your first time. And that is the amazing addictive quality of heroin. So they've got something that's just going to take this whole city, the state, the country, and turn it upside down in a new drug. So they, the hand, are positioning for some great, amazing things. And Danny knows that something has to be done. So that is why he goes, has the creepy dinner with Colleen, because he needs some backup. And yes, it turns out he does, in fact, need backup because, well, he gets trapped in a trailer.
He gets his idiot self locked in a trailer because he can't just stay and watch like he had planned. He's like, oh, it's not showing what I want it to do. I'm going to go climb inside the trailer, which then gets locked and driven off. But inside the trailer, we find not heroin, but
a couple of guys watching soccer.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, I didn't see any satellite dish on top of that truck trailer. So I'm just kind of wondering.
My friend I was watching with was like, he has like the TV, he has a hot plate, he has like all sorts of stuff in there. Where does he get the electricity and gas?
Well, the electricity is probably via a generator attached like on the front. Like you see those refrigeration trucks, so I can see that. But where's the signal coming for the TV?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you ever tried to use a cell phone in a mostly metal space, but you can't get signal. And satellites are pretty much just as finicky. I mean, do you remember, you know, trying to use satellite TV when any hint of weather comes in? I mean, it's a little better now, but still.
Maybe it was a DVD.
Oh, good point. It could have been a pre-recorded game.
It could have been, but it kind of felt like it was live to me.
I like how we're discussing this and not discussing the really awful fight that happens.
Oh, God. Again, the fight. Oh, what can I say about the fight so that I haven't already said? It's just, again, my friend I was watching it with, not nearly as big of a martial arts person as me. And she's like, this looks terrible.
Yeah, it was shaky. The angles were weird. I saw more of their like elbows and shoulders than their faces. And this fight lasted a lot longer than I thought it would, because during dinner, you learned that Danny was training for martial arts since he went into the monasteries. And so that would be like since he's 10 and it's been 15 years. So you would think, even though he can't conjure up the iron fist, you would think he could have taken care of this guy a lot quicker than he did.
Again, it's just so slow. It's a little faster than when you're practicing a move. Why didn't they just hire an actor who also knows martial arts? There are plenty who do martial arts in their spare time.
There are, like with the choreographers for Arrow and for Daredevil even, I mean, there's people that can act and do martial arts or fight scenes or movements. You were talking a couple episodes about actually memorizing moves, and that's all you really need to do to get beyond the half second cut scenes that have to be done in order to make these fights continuous, because it's just ridiculous trying to watch one of these things. It's almost as bad as a Michael Bay flick.
Yeah. There's an actor who shows up in, I guess, the next episode or two, Louis Tan, and he actually auditioned for the role until they decided they want a white guy. And this guy, he is amazing. He's a good actor on his, in his own right. And he is a fantastic martial artist as well. Lexi Alexander, who's a director I really like, she did Punisher Warzone. She's done a lot of TV lately. She works out at the same gym as him. So she's posted videos of working out with him. And yeah, the guy can move.
Oh, I know what episode you're talking about. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh my, seriously. It's like, and I'm following this guy on Twitter.
Even when they're showing each other in the dojo how they can work with the weapons, even that shouldn't have been cutscenes. That should have been you're screwing around with whatever weapon it is, and that's it. The camera should be on you the entire time, and it's not leading me to believe that they had to do it that way because they were screwing up with the weapons so much. And with Danny, it was every like quarter second. With Colleen, it was longer, but still, it just wasn't done very well.
Here's the thing. I think with Danny, it was awful, and I bet you she rocked it. But here's the thing. In the editing room, you have to remember, they have to make the hero look like the hero. So I would bet money, and I don't have much, that they had to cut a lot of her awesomeness out to make him look somewhat decent.
Because we know she can handle a weapon. She used a whip on Game of Thrones, which is notoriously hard to use well. Sword, much easier by comparison. And then I really hate that they use nunchucks, because maybe it's just because of the time I grew up in, but every guy I ever knew who was like, look at what I can do, and then pulls out a pair of nunchucks, tends to be the worst dude bro ever, who does about two things like this and then whacks himself in the nuts. SP, I'm sorry for all the nut talk, but
oh my gosh, we need to get another guy on this show. And oh, by the way, talking about another guy, Anthony Bachman's in the chat, and he said, I rewatched episodes number one and number two. If you rewatch that first fight with the security guards, you can see that Finn can get it right, but I'm betting that's the only scene he had months to prep for.
Probably. Because it's the first episode, it's the pilot. They always spend more time on the pilot because it's the important one.
Yeah, because sometimes you need it to be picked up for the rest of them as well, or at least to captivate your audience, or both.
Mm-hmm.
I think this had the makings to be an epic fight. It really did. Because if you're looking at a script and you go, oh, they're fighting in a moving boxcar, that is going to be awesome to see on screen. And it just didn't pull off very well. And I was just shaking my head over it.
I will say that if memory serves, the show does sort of start moving on an uptick from here on out. I think we do get less of the really dismal business stuff, and we get more action-y stuff.
Man, they took a long time to set up. Four and a half episodes, something like that. Ugh.
Also, I would like to state it here. I call director for the next episode we do. Okay? I want to state it here.
Okay.
Just because, yes.
It has been so stated.
Yes.
Okay. You had this fight in the boxcar. Colleen rescues them, and then they go, and Claire does her great medical stuff.
Which, again, is accurate. It's accurate field medicine, as far as I'm aware. The guy has a sucking chest wound, which is when your chest cavity has a puncture in it that leads to your lung, and air is getting into your lung from that. Air is escaping from your lung. Your lung can't properly reinflate. You don't want to just close it up because then, like, it's still, I can't remember why. There's a reason, and I'm blanking out right now. But the whole tape, like a flat thing, like a card over it.
The reason you don't want to close it up is because then it creates an air bubble within the chest itself.
That's it. Thank you. So she put the card over it so that air could come out, and then it could be sucked back in. So then the air bubble leaves when he exhales, and then it's sucked back in when he inhales, forming a proper seal.
That's right. Until you can get into a medical surgical situation where you can actually close up the lung on the inside. So you got to open up the chest to get to that, or at least do it arthroscopically or whatever with the little laser that goes in there. And anyway, this has been your medical moment of the episode, brought to you by Lab Rat Lauren. We didn't get to see Harold on the scene, although we got a couple of phone calls that were ignored and texts, right, Michelle?
Right. You know, this is when Ward gets that message and he just decides, not going to do it, ignoring Daddy, start to rebel.
And it worked so well for him.
Yep.
Yeah. And he takes the heroin and then almost spills the entire beans to Joy. I think he gave her enough that she's questioning everything right now. And I think we'll see that permeate in the next episodes. I have not seen further than this episode. So there's 13 total episodes. This is episode 5. There's 8 episodes I have not seen. 8 hours of Iron Fist that I am going to have to watch before I watch Defenders. Now, offline, a lot of people were asking in the last couple of days, do I have to watch all of Iron Fist before I watch the Defenders? And there were some interesting answers to that. Yeah. No, there was fast forward until you get to the scenes with Claire and Colleen. There was also whenever you see the fist glow, you probably should stop and take a look at that. So, yeah, I think that the general consensus is no, but there are some cool moments in the series.
I think it was the operator said last 3 episodes are really all you probably need. And I tend to agree. But what we're doing here with, you know, the going through it, it is a nice refresher for me, and talking to other people, helping me process it, helping me process my feelings. That's nice.
So we're all about the feelings on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, we are all about the feelings. Also, you know what I'm feeling pretty good about?
What's that?
Madam Gao.
Oh, we actually get to see her. It's so cool.
Yes, we get to see her and we find out what's in that cane of hers. I don't remember if we found out in Daredevil.
No, this is the first time I really, oh God, whenever she's on the screen, you need to pay attention to that. Claire and her. Who cares about Danny? The next episode, I have to admit, the next episode of Iron Fist is kind of interesting because she's involved now. Because she knows what Danny is just by looking at that. And she has that sword. And first off, kneel before Gao. And and then considering it's, you know, I think part of her knows that, yes, there's no way this guy could have won. But he also disappointed. And so I have to make sure that he pays. And she does a very quick death. Which is very respectful.
Yes.
It could have been a lot worse.
And I love that they didn't have her doing something dramatic with it. It's just because sword canes, I don't know if you've ever seen one in person or any of the listeners have, but they are, since they're meant to be used in a sword and as like a weapon of last resort, they are very thin and they are very sharp and you're meant to poke people with them. So when I first saw it, I was like, oh, if they have her slice off his head, I'm going to throw a fit. And instead, they have her stab him through the back of the neck, right here at the soft part again, and then come out through the mouth, which was cool imagery. Very violent, awful, but cool imagery. And what you would do with a sword cane.
Lots of stuff you could do with a sword cane. And
which I think is probably what, when she told Harold to kneel, I think he was probably scared of something like that, because he had also disappointed her.
Yeah. And I pointed out, though, that he obeyed her no matter what. And he knew that this could be the end, but she allowed him to win. And then I said it was surprising that she allowed him to go and kill the guy that had hit Joy. That is a little bit out of character, I would think, for her because of stuff like this. But she allowed it to happen, so okay.
Well, we learn a little bit more about how Madame Gao operates. So when you learn a little bit more about how she operates, then that moment will make sense.
Yes. So look forward to learning more about Madame Gao. Yeah. That is one thing to look forward to in this series.
Okay, more Madame Gao. I seem to remember before we got into it, you ladies were saying, okay, so there's Madame Gao, there's Colleen, there's Claire, and yeah, that's all you need to know. So, okay.
Yeah.
And Joy. I think you guys said
Joy. Joy's pretty good. Jerry, always fun whenever she shows up, which hasn't been for several episodes now, but we still like her.
It's like this series should have been called Iron Fist. All the women are awesome. Our hero was lame.
It has been
seriously,
so dumb.
Again, all of the guys on this show, and it's like, come on, all of the women on the show are amazing, and I understand you want to have the amazing women characters because Marvel has awesome women characters, but you don't want to do that at the expense of your male characters. The reason that characters are amazing is because they're amazing in their own right. This is that whole thing of making somebody seem like the smartest person in the room by making everybody else in the room basically one brain cell above an amoeba in terms of intelligence. You don't have to, like, come on, guys, you could have done a better job writing these dudes. Like,
yeah, once again, I don't fault the specific director and writer for this episode. I actually think they did pretty good for the material that they had. But yeah, it's just, it's hard to move forward. And again, Scott Buck, the showrunner, executive producer, will not be involved in season two. So that might be a leg up that Iron Fist season two has. So Michelle, we don't have Haley with us, but we do have you. And you said that you had a quote that you wanted to tell us.
Yeah, sometimes the writers get it right and they have a gem. And this is actually one of my favorite quotes from the whole series. And it's said, of course, by Claire, when she says, "I'm still getting used to bringing the hurt instead of fixing it."
I love Claire.
Yeah, the entire Claire interaction in this episode was fantastic. I can't wait for more, which in fact will be not next week, but in 2 weeks from today, we'll go over Iron Fist. Season 1, Episode 6, Immoral Emerges from Cave. And that is because I will not be available to record next week. So we're just going to skip that. And
oh, I can't do the director then, I think.
Well, you can pre-record it. We can talk about that. And then next time, in between now and Sunday, Michelle and I are actually going to Gen Con. And not to throw salt in the wound, Lauren, but we will be there. We will be doing a couple of panels. This episode won't air until way later, so I'm not going to go into any sort of promotion for the panel that we're doing. But when we get back on Sunday, we're actually, the three of us are going to gather again, and we're going to go over Legion Chapter 8, which is the season one finale of Legion. It's going to be so cool. So make sure you stay tuned into Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode number 195. So Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at GunnaGeek.com, just like Tyrion's Landing, which is the network podcast on Game of Thrones. And lately, they released episode number 124 on Eastwatch, which is Justin Robert Young joins Jeannie, Rachel, and Nikki in discussing the developments in Eastwatch. Yes, that's right. Justin Robert Young of Diamond Club. So go check that episode out. That's Tyrion's Landing episode number 124. Ladies, are you ready to get into some news?
Ready.
Yep.
Got some great news items in store for you today. First of all, we have an Inhuman story that doesn't shock me, but it shocks me.
Yeah, on IO9, the director of the first episode of Inhumans, Roel Renee, revealed that Marvel gave him a challenging filming schedule that's more akin to a one-off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than the revolutionary IMAX experience being touted. He thinks he was picked because of his history of making cheap, quick movies like Death Race 2, Scorpion King 3. His exact quote was, "I think they liked me for the job because I was able, with my action movies, to shoot in a very short time or with very low budgets, action that looks like a big budget movie." So that's worrisome.
Oh my God.
Especially because he's shooting with an IMAX camera for that.
They keep touting this as this huge cinematic event and how it's supposed to be elevated. And they got someone who does, look, hey, I understand fast and cheap. There's some great material out there that's been low budget and they've done with the crunch and creativity. But the way ABC is promoting the series, hearing fast and cheap does not instill confidence.
Yeah.
So a couple episodes ago, we were talking about Jeff Loeb and his stellar performance, shall we say? And by stellar, I mean it wasn't stellar at all.
Yeah, let's finger quotes that.
Yeah, at the panel saying, we're going to give you what we're going to give you and you're going to like it sort of thing. Like, no, I don't think so, Jeff. You have to show us something here and you're not showing us anything. So again, Scott Buck is in charge of Inhumans. He was in charge of this. I did ask the question, is Scott Buck to Marvel what Zack Snyder was to DC? There was a lot of talk about that, and basically everybody was saying no. I am starting to think that Scott Buck is more to the failure in the Marvel small screen than everybody really thinks, but we'll see. We'll see when Agents of... we're going to have to wait, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes on in November, so let's wait for that to see if everything starts to rebound for Marvel. Right now, I'd say... this does not look good at all. But you know what does look good? We got this little note and I was scratching my head over it. And then I said, it's comics. And we have some little news about Jessica Jones.
Yeah, David Tennant is back for season 2. Not sure how. And
flashback, or maybe it's some sort of residual, like... you know, like, because he's psychic and maybe there's just like some sort of residual like flashes or something. And he's like some sort of like personification and she sees him and he's like, Jessica, you don't know what you're doing or something, blah, blah, blah. But not like him himself out like from the dead. Does that make any sense?
I have no idea what they have in store, but I'm willing to wait and see, unlike other series that we just talked about. So Jessica Jones was a great series. We had Luke Cage was a good series. We had Daredevil was a good series. I'm okay with that. Now, if season 2 of Iron Fist starts to look or Inhumans, I'm like, okay, come on. We're done. We need to get greatness and move on with that. Otherwise, you're giving Marvel a bad name. And this is what happened to Marvel in the late 90s. We don't want that to happen again. Yeah.
No, we do not.
All right. So we have a little bit of news again with Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, we do. There's a new trailer from Japan where there's actually a Doctor Strange cameo. And also, I found out that the title for this in Japanese is The Mighty Thor Battle Royale, which is kind of amazing.
I always like the Japanese titles because of the anime background that we have with Japan. So it's always pretty cool. Like Voltron was Go Lion, at least in one machination with the Japanese. So it's just always interesting to go back and forth to see what they call it over there. Now, the next film that's up for Marvel after Thor Ragnarok, which is in November, by the way, is Black Panther. And we had an interesting story with a man who is coming out, or maybe he still is, in the grieving period.
Yeah, so Stan Lee, on his Twitter account, on the 16th, which was yesterday, I believe, tweeted, "In 1966, we brought Black Panther to the pages of Marvel. Now this talented young man brings him to the silver screen. You have my respect." And it's a picture of the two of them. And yeah, it's one of those things that's just like awesome.
It was awesome indeed. Michelle, did you see this picture?
Yes. And to see Stan Lee, I can only just imagine how he feels seeing all these things, movies come to life and from, you know, it was in his imagination. And just, you know, to give a blessing, it's like the Father on high coming down and go, "Yes, my child, you are worthy."
Yeah. And this is the first time that I've seen Stan out after losing his wife. And he looks like he's having fun, which is good. I mean, you want him to have fun. So yeah, it was great. And it's very important, as you just mentioned, Michelle, that all these things are coming to life and coming to life in such a great aspect as well. It's been amazing to watch ever since 2008. It really has. So on the other hand, we have a stunt community story to break here, which is not great.
Yeah. Earlier this week, there was a death on the set of Deadpool 2. A motorcycle rider, she was 40 years old, her name was Joy S.J. Harris, was killed performing a stunt. And right now, there is a discussion in the stunt community. The Hollywood Reporter has a really, really good article about it, because a lot of people are saying this was absolutely preventable. She was a very qualified motorcycle racer, but not an experienced stunt person. And she was one of the country's first and most successful Black female motorcycle riders. And she was given the job, it's everyone's understanding, or it's kind of what they're worrying, that she was given the job less because of her riding skills and stunt skills than because she looks like she's a skin match to Zazie Beetz, who plays Domino. There's a lot of problems finding women and women of color, especially in the stunt community, because it tends to be a lot of men, and women in stunt communities have it a lot harder because women's costume tends to be very skimpy. So there's not as much room for padding and stuff like that. So it's kind of inherently more dangerous to be a woman in the stunt community. And through a third party, a member of the Deadpool 2 crew in Vancouver backs up the assertion that producers chose Harris largely for this reason, her resemblance to Zazie Beetz.
Mm.
So yeah, it's one veteran stunt person familiar with the production claims Harris's death is especially disconcerting because another professional stunt woman was available. Melissa Stubbs, who was Margot Robbie's double for Suicide Squad, has a lot of experience riding motorcycles. But again, it's like you have the whole, do we find somebody who looks like this person? Do we find somebody who's qualified? There needs to be a lot more equality in the stunt community if they're going to be looking for people who look like they're actors. And the studio needs to be giving stunt workers the benefit of the doubt because they know what they're doing. So if the stunt community says, "I don't feel safe working with this person," they should take that into account. There's, you know, you hear stories about stunt actors and actresses who've died because production didn't listen. There's that really famous John Landis story about the Twilight Zone, where he didn't listen to the people who were coordinating a helicopter stunt and three people died, two of which were children. And again, it's the stunt community who puts themselves in danger for our entertainment. They need to have a voice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at other entertainment industries like professional football and hockey. There's safety regulations in there for a reason, and you have to start expanding those to other industries as well, just to make sure it's a safe work environment, because these are real people. They go home and they have to live real lives. So they're not just CGI people up there indeed. So our condolences to the family, and we hope that this sort of thing does not happen again in the production of any entertainment, but specifically since we talk about comic book movies and shows, we'll say specifically comic book movies and shows. And still looking forward to Deadpool 2, but this does taint it a little bit in my mind. And it'll take a little bit of time for me to get over that as the production moves on. Talking about production moving on, we do have cast news for Runaways.
Yes, Julian McMahon, who is recognizable for another Marvel property. He was Dr. Doom in the early 2000s Fantastic Four. He has been added to the cast. He will be playing somebody named Jonah, who I'm not sure who's that supposed to be, but he will be in it. And, you know, I generally like him. I watched Nip Tuck when that was on and he was on there.
I'm disappointed they didn't mention that he was in Charmed.
Oh, yeah, he was. I stopped watching after like the second season.
We had another run-in recently with Charmed in The Scarlet Witch, issue number 14. There's a little Charmed call-out for that.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. Okay. So, Michelle, you're just not sitting through the news. You brought your own news piece, and it's about Star Wars. We're all about talking about Star Wars on this show because it's Marvel, it's Disney, it's all one big company. Hashtag, it's all connected. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, it's basically all over the internet right before I popped into podcast, in that it's confirmed that Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi movie is to be in development. It's being reported many different places, and it's in the works with Stephen Daldry, is reportedly in talks to direct. He's done Billy Elliot and The Hours. So in typical Hollywood fashion, there's no script, no stars, no anything else, just big old talk and such. But it's Star Wars. I don't think you make an announcement that starts on The Hollywood Reporter and ends up on comicbook.com without some sort of truth behind it.
I, much as I would love it, I'm not believing it until like actual StarWars.com announces it.
Kathleen Kennedy says something about it, something of that magnitude. I would agree with you. So we'll see. I mean, they've ebbed and flowed on a couple of these movies, these off trilogy movies. So we'll see. We'll see. It would be cool. We'll see. That is it for the news this week. We're going to move on to some feedback.
All right. We've got some feedback from Twitter. At Anthony Bachman has been catching up on back episodes and posting his commentary along. So finally, today, this morning, he said, I'm finally all caught up on episodes of the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast about all things Marvel. Now I need to start my Iron Fist rewatch.
Have to. Okay.
But yeah, it was really fun seeing his commentary as he was going through.
It was, and he has a lot to say, and we might be seeing him on the show sometime in the future. Maybe when you're taking a little vacation, Lauren, we'll see.
We also have from at Mr. Paracletes. He says, ha, I can see this happening. Posted a picture of Chris Evans in the cap. Like, it's a piece of art with Chris Evans in the cap uniform. It's a post from Tumblr. I'm literally waiting for the day when y'all push Chris Evans so far that he throws on his Captain America suit and actually starts punching Nazis and fighting crime.
I would love that.
And then the conversation in this thread was really good. Added Donna Girl added in, when the fusion of Chris Evans and Steve Rogers is complete, should we call them Chris Steve? To which Mr. Paraclete said, I like Stevens better. And then the conversation continued for a little bit with gifts of Sebastian Stan. It was pretty great.
Awesome.
We're having some really good conversation threads lately, you guys.
Yeah, we have. And thank you for taking charge of that.
And then finally, from the operator, at the underscore operator 01, he tagged us on a picture from his office summer party. So, of course, I had to get one. And it's a little glittery tattoo of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. logo. It's one of those moments where my tongue gets tripped up and I'm like, okay, which one are they called and which one are we called?
Yeah, that's right. So it is the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, the big one from the Clark Gregg, you know, the Agent Phil Coulson, what he would make. So yeah, that's a nice tattoo, sir. All right, that is it for the feedback this week. We look forward to hearing from you again just in a couple of days. So I keep meaning to ask you ladies before we start, how do you want to, and do you want to, we've walked through the mall, we've skipped, we've hopped.
How about we punch some Nazis?
Okay, I was gonna say do the hustle. Can we hustle some Nazis out? Because I heard the hustle earlier today.
Michelle, is that agreeable?
Okay.
Punch hustle.
We can hustle and punch it's Nazis hustle, on our way out.
Punch. Punch.
Okay, we're going to hustle and punch some Nazis on the way
It's
out.
Good exercise. It's good exercise.
Thank you very much for stopping by and seeing us and listening to the podcast today. We appreciate you downloading us and talking back with us in the feedback section because, hey, we're here for you.
Yes. Thank you so much for everyone who's tweeting us, whether it's news or the comment threads. I've been enjoying the comment threads so much. It's been kind of a tough week for me, and that's made it so much better. Your thoughts on episodes, your thoughts on our podcast. I love hearing from you. We love hearing from you. Thank you so much.
And Michelle, thank you very much for joining us this week. I thanked you at the beginning. I'm going to thank you at the end. You were awesome. Thank you for joining us. You have a lot to say, and we like hearing what you have to say.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure coming on. And, you know, I guess I'm glad you guys are going through Iron Fist episode by episode, because it's like, for those of us who are watching it, you know, we're not alone. You know, we get to go through this together because that's what we need when it comes to Iron Fist. Togetherness.
The Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Iron Fist support group.
Exactly.
All right. So we'll hope to have you on next time to talk a little end of Legion. And with that, until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. We'll see you guys in a couple days. See ya.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Sorry, I forgot that we were going early, so I'm running about 15 minutes behind, but thank you for being punctual, unlike myself.
Oh, it's okay.
Getting ready. You ready to talk some Iron Fist?
Yeah!
You are weird.
I am trying to find... So, this episode is actually named after a Shaolin China technique. And I'm trying to find what exactly it's supposed to do.
I saw this video. If it's actually labeled correctly, it's like an arm block, and then trying to grab the guy's junk.
That would fit for the name.
Because under leaf and then lotus, your lotus position is, well, your junk. So,
well, I mean, not even necessarily. There's this... thing that we used to do in jiu-jitsu called monkey grabs the peach, and the whole thing was somebody it works on guys. You kick a guy, and then while his legs are open, you grab.
Alrighty. Maybe I don't want to podcast with you ladies tonight.
Aww, yes you do. Don't you want to hear us about, you know, plucking people's lotuses and peaches and stuff?
No, not the peaches. God forbid the peaches.
A little bit about Haley's not here. She doesn't like us.
You know, I read there are fleas that actually have the plague.
Yep. It's pretty common in the Southwest, actually.
Like, the actual plague.
Yeah. I mean, it's not gone.
I know,
people get it every year.
Yeah, but I think it's like used to or something. I was just reading about that, and it was just like,
yeah, it blows my mind that people don't know about that.
Well, I knew the plague was still around, but it's that just
in the Southwest.
Yeah.
It's that why they tell you not to like. That's why they tell you not to go hug like prairie dogs.
I can't believe people have to be told that. Oh, and just like people have to be told, don't follow mountain lions.
Yeah.
Like, duh. Like, I can't believe people have to be told that. Like, don't follow something that sees you as lunch. Just don't.
That's a
bad
idea.
Do we want to go over episode highlights first, or are we just going to...
Yep. That's right. Last thing here. Let's talk about episode highlights. What do we want to specifically talk about, Michelle?
Claire.
Yes.
Claire.
Right. What else, aside from Claire? Yes.
Let's see. Danny is creepy and does not understand boundaries.
The sloppy fight in the truck. Okay. That's my judge. The fight in the truck. Let's just put it that
way. It was
awkward.
We'll talk about it when we talk about it. The chemist.
Yeah. Well, I said sloppy, but I guess you heard it as floppy. But floppy works too.
I did. Yeah.
Floppy works too.
It was both.
Yeah. The chemist and
the stuff going on with Rand with regards to the
that's just boring company.
Stuff.
It's boring company
stuff. I know, but might
stuff.
As well get it out of the way. Just, I guess, put boring company stuff. Ward being a pillhead.
Yeah, he's starting to rebel. And then Madame Gao at the end.
Oh, God, yes. That was cool. I think those are really the highlights. Yeah, I think those are the highlights.
That's basically what happened in the show.
Well, a highlight would be we didn't see Harold.
Also, that too. Mentioned
that. Well, we
that.
Didn't see him, but we got a text from Frankenstein.
We got a text from him, but it didn't count.
Well, it does count, though. It does count because, oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we got a text, but it wasn't like a face appearance.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about everything right now before the show.
And yeah, it was kind of a snoozer. I had a fight staying awake during some parts of this episode.
Yeah, we get a lady crying because a Rand Industries plant gave her son cancer, but she has like no legal standing to sue them. And then her and her lawyer ambush Danny. And once again, they're trying to use publicity. And it's just
Lauren,
all...
we lost you for a second. So if you're still there, we will... wait a little bit, see if you can reconnect.
Hello?
Yeah, Lauren, we lost you from the beginning of your explanation.
Okay, I'll start again. Okay, so some lady's crying because Rand Industries' plant is like gave her son cancer, but she has no legal leg to stand on to sue. So her and her lawyer ambush Danny and put the video on YouTube.
I think Rand Corporation is intervening every time she says, I think the Rand Corporation is suing.
Oh my God, my internet physically does not want me to talk about this.
No, I think it's the Rand Corporation. Every time you said they're going to sue, it cuts out.
Well, maybe the internet is like, this is... corporate, boring, you know, corporation.
The internet is like, this is so boring, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So why don't you start one more
guilty.
Time?
We're not guilty.
Yeah.
And instead, they have her stab him. I knocked my microphone. They're going to have, they had her stab him through the back of the neck.
Good show. Good discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm surprised I had this much fun.
Yeah, talking Iron Fist.
It's surprisingly fun to talk Iron Fist.
I know, but you
I'm enjoying why, you know, because I listen to the podcast, so I am listening to the Iron Fist episodes, and it's like, oh God, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone.
Yeah, it's so therapeutic. Oh, what time does Defenders drop?
Midnight, I think, right?
I don't remember what time zone.
That what?
Pacific.
It's 3 a.m. on Eastern.
Yeah, I don't want to stay up that late, so I'll just start watching it in the morning.
Woohoo! Thank you for coming by, everybody. We're going to shut down the feed, but we're excited to see you guys next time. Bye.
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 Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.